Hello, I'm Siobhan Sarna with Dr. Allison C. Becker. Dr. C. Becker, I'm going to talk about you like you're not here, as I do like to do at the beginning of these things. She is a world-renowned SIBO specialist, so truly a gut health expert with a total love and focus on SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And for those of you who watch some of her sessions in the Gut Rescue Summit, you know that SIBO is the number one underlying cause of IBS. If you watch Dr. Pimentel and Dr. Rezai, they were also talking about that. One of the things that Dr. C. Becker is so phenomenal at is teaching, advocating for patients and practitioners. So if you know any pros that need a pro training, she has three. Also, if you're interested in getting SIBO recovery, we have the SIBO Recovery Roadmap course and premium coaching. But one of the things that she's quite famous for is how to manage symptoms. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And also, no joke, you're not a fool. I'm going to hand things over to Dr. C. Becker and let her get started with her presentation. And welcome. Thank you for being here, everybody.
Thank you so much, Siobhan. Ready for me?
Yes, I'm ready for you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome. As Siobhan said, my topic today is supplements for gut symptom relief. Let me share my screen. I have a PowerPoint I can share with you today. Let me see here.
Oh, and yes, the replay will be sent out tonight. We'd love to have you hang out with us the whole time, but yes, it's definitely going to be sent out later tonight. And I'm going to hide myself, but I'll be here with you because I'm going to pop in with a couple of little helpmates as we go.
Okay, so most everything I'm going to speak about today can be gotten at, as Siobhan mentioned, at Fullscript. Some of the things are only available at Amazon. I'll let you know where they're available from, but they're basically just easily obtainable supplements that can help so many of the digestive symptoms that unfortunately many of us suffer from. I don't have a lot of the like specific products mentioned, more like the generic name for products. Because if you want to see my recommendations, you can go over to Fullscript and I've created like lists for each symptom and you can see the supplements I recommend. So I'm just going to talk a little bit more generically. And as Siobhan mentioned, I'm offering a sale at Fullscript today and tomorrow. Now, many of these supplements can be used for multiple symptoms, and so I'm gonna talk about them. Like basically, you may just so you know, you may not, if you're like, oh, this symptom doesn't apply to me, you may not want to leave the room because I may discuss the item and then it applies to another symptom later. So just so you know, in terms of because I'm gonna go by symptom for your organizational purposes, these are the symptoms I'm gonna cover, and everything I'm going to talk about can be obtained online or in drugstores and health food stores, things like that. So I do just want to say, what is this all about? Like if somebody has a lot of digestive symptoms, obviously the best thing to do is try to consult with a practitioner to find out why you're having the symptoms. That's my disclaimer, right? But where these recommendations are good for is like while you're waiting to see a practitioner, or if you ate something that aggravated your symptoms, or while traveling, or just if you have a stubborn symptom, you've tried working on things. A good example would be like if you have chronic SIBO, so you know about it, you're working on it, but there's just some symptoms that are going to need some management ongoing. Or another example would be if you took the SIBO breath test and by chance it aggravated your symptoms. These are all the reasons why I think these supplements are situations they're helpful for. So let's start with pain, abdominal pain. So, in terms of abdominal pain, here I'm meaning generalized IBS SIBO pain, like pain that is not, you can't point to it in one location, and it's not like the burning pain of an ulcer per se, more like generalized pain over the abdomen. This type of pain is caused typically by muscle contraction against gas in the intestines. And this is smooth muscle contraction. And that type of contraction can cause very bad pain. Think of kidney stones or gallstones. So, and it could also be mild, but what's going on here is a smooth muscle contraction. And so anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and acetaminophen and aspirin, they don't usually work on this type of pain. And that's where a lot of us run into trouble. We take ibuprofen and it's not very helpful. Even like opioid type medicines often don't do what we wish they would for this type of pain. We need smooth muscle relaxants or antispasmodics for this type of pain. You know, typical anti-inflammatories, they'll help with skeletal muscle pain, but not this type of pain. So some smooth muscle relaxants we can think of using would be peppermint and also iberogast, which has peppermint. I'll talk more about that in a minute. And then we can also use things that adsorb gas because the muscles are contracting against the gas, or things that help move gas out of the intestines. So that would be things like charcoal for the adsorbent, and prokinetics, of which iberogast is an example, for moving the gas out. So let's start with peppermint oil. So peppermint oil has been very well studied for IBS and for abdominal pain. And here are some quotes. Treatment with peppermint oil significantly improves abdominal pain and global symptoms of IBS. And it showed increased improvement in both multiple and individual GI symptoms, as well as in severe or unbearable symptoms compared to placebo. So that's really good to know. Peppermint has a somewhat local effect, kind of working where it's placed. And therefore, we may want to take into account the form of it. So, like strong peppermint tea, like liquids, like tea or herbal tincture of peppermint, is best for pain that is high up in the abdomen. Whereas enteric coated pills, so enteric coating just means that it's going to take a little while to be broken down, like it has a special encapsulation, that's better for middle or lower abdominal pain. And there are many, many brands that make enteric coated peppermint oil. One particular product is called IV Guard, and that's like extra enteric coated. It has these triple coated microspheres, and I've got a picture of it here up on the screen, those little tiny balls inside of a capsule. And they're designed to release over a 4-hour period after they've left the stomach, so that it's really making sure to get into the middle and, lower intestines. I mean, standard enteric coated pills are meant to do that too, but these ones just went like a little bit farther in their enteric coating, and it has some good studies on it. Another form of peppermint oil that can be helpful is putting essential oil of peppermint in like a base oil, like jojoba oil or almond oil or something like that, and then rubbing it on the belly. And in particular, this is good for children. That is often, they don't necessarily need something orally. Just that on the belly will really, really help, because it actually has a local effect. It can soak right into the smooth, go past the skeletal, go into the smooth muscles right there. Now, in terms of dosing, it does have a quick onset for pain, which is good, but I would say it has more of a mild or moderate effect. And what the studies have shown is that the full effect develops over time. So, like, it's better at 24 hours, and then it's even better at 1 month of daily use. So, peppermint oil could be a good thing to think about if you have some ongoing chronic pain that needs management in terms of abdominal pain. So you can see here the symptom reduction doubled or even more from 24 hours to 1 month, from 35% to 67%. So think about that. 35% pain reduction is, I'm sure most of us would want more pain reduction. 67% is very good. But I think also when you're in pain, you'll take 35% as well. But you just need to kind of keep it in mind. It's going to knock it down, but not like eliminate it, unless you're lucky. So there are some side effects to know about. It could cause acid reflux or nausea. And this is because of that smooth muscle relaxation. It can relax the sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach and allow whatever acids in the stomach to just flow upward. If that happens to you, that doesn't happen to everyone who uses peppermint oil, but like if you were using a liquid form, like a tincture or something, then just switch to the enteric coated pills. If it happened to you with the enteric coated pills, what probably happened there is it prematurely ruptured in the stomach, which can happen. And then I would switch to the IV guard, which is extra enteric coated. So just so you know how to manage it if that happens. Another thing that could happen is a mentholated feeling from the inside, which is very odd. Like people will report even their eyes can feel mentholated from the inside. That just happens if it ruptures prematurely. That's more so with the pills if they rupture prematurely in the stomach. And something that can help with that is if you keep your pills in the freezer, then they're less likely to do that. And they're more likely to make it into the intestines before they open up. Or you could try the IV guard. That might do the trick. So, if you thought you'd like, I want to try peppermint, I've tried it before and it gave me these problems, here are some potential solutions for you. And then just one other thing to note is that it does have some antibacterial effects. So for those who have SIBO, that's actually kind of a positive side effect. And here's just about IV guard, 42% in reduction of abdominal pain and 67% for severe and unbearable symptoms, which is amazing. Okay, now on to charcoal. So just some quotes from studies for charcoal. Activated charcoal significantly reduced breath hydrogen levels and symptoms of bloating and abdominal cramps or pain, basically. And activated charcoal is an effective anti-gas medicine. Many of you may be familiar with charcoal for use in the emergency room for accidental poisoning. It's also used for drug overdose because it's an adsorbent with a D instead of a B, which means it absorbs substances that are in our intestines into it so they don't absorb into our body. And so that's why it's used in the hospital at much higher amounts than we would use it, at home. But again, by adsorbing the gas, then the muscles will relax and the pain can calm down. And the effect is pretty quick, but it's not like NSAIDs or, ibuprofen for a headache, which would be maybe 30, 40 minutes. This is about 2.5 to 3 hours. So, when you're in pain, that can be a long time, but it's better than no pain relief. And in my experience, when it hits, it's amazing when that 2.5 hours or 3 hours comes, and it can last for 4.5 to 6.5 hours. So the way you dose it is you just take anywhere from 2 to 4 caps, about 1,000 milligrams. And then you can repeat that. You can repeat it like every 1 to 3 hours, but I would say wait to repeat it until you get to that 2.5, 3 hours, because you don't want to keep dosing it. If it was already going to work, you just needed a little more time. I can tell you a story that I've often shared. So I have chronic SIBO. I don't know if you all know that, but I do. It's very well managed. But when I was experiencing really bad symptoms, my form of SIBO had a lot of terrible, terrible pain that would keep me up at night and everything. And I remember this one time I was like curled in a ball on the floor in severe pain. I took charcoal, and like exactly 2.5 hours later, it just completely lifted and I felt completely well. And then I went out hiking with my husband that day, that was it. It was done. So like, to me, that's a miracle. So pretty amazing. Now, another way to take it, there is a study dose I wanted to list for you here, is if you know or suspect that a meal will cause gas production and bloating, then what you could do is you could take about 1,000 milligrams, which is typically about 4 capsules, 30 minutes before the meal, and then repeat that 1 hour later. And in studies, they showed that gave the best effect. Now, this is interesting to me because this is way more than I ever used or I ever recommended for my patients. And the people I've recommended it to, I've heard really, really good results from at much lower doses. So, but I wanted you to know about this, and because if by chance you just try 2 capsules and it doesn't do the job after 3 hours, you can certainly do more. So one thing to know about charcoal is that it absorbs nutrients in general. So it's advised to take it away from our meals, from any other supplements or our medicines, so that it doesn't adsorb those, so that we can absorb them. So I typically recommend about 30 minutes before or one hour after you can take charcoal. For thyroid medicine, which is meant to be taken first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, I would, on erring on the side of caution, I'd say an hour. So take that an hour before taking charcoal if you needed to take charcoal in the morning. Labels typically will say 2 to 4 hours between meals, medicines, and charcoal. I think that's very, very cautious. I don't think that's fully needed from everything I know about the GI tract. That's being very, very cautious. Now, side effects could be darkened stool because it's black, and it could cause constipation. But here's the deal. Clinically, I find that to be very rare when someone's taking 2 capsules or 4 capsules in a day. But what I notice that happens is people who suffer from constipation are so afraid of constipation and afraid of getting constipation that they won't even try charcoal for their pain. And I guess I just want to let everyone know it is pretty rare for me to see anyone get constipated. If by chance it happened, you can just add or increase a laxative and it'll settle itself out. And also, to put your mind at ease, I can tell you that in a study that was done on, I think it was I wrote it down here. 75 grams of charcoal. So we're only taking 1 to 4 grams of charcoal for at-home use. But in this study, at 75 grams, only half of the study participants experienced constipation. So it's not necessarily going to happen. Siobhan, yes?
Hello. Let me just break in with some breaking news. You can grab your drink of water, Dr. Seebecker. So I just didn't start out by saying, of course, this isn't medical advice and everyone has their own situations. Like for some people, peppermint is not going to be a good fit for you. She's not saying this is good for everybody. That's one thing.
Oh goodness. Yes. I don't know you. I'm talking about what's been studied for these symptoms.
Exactly. So the other thing is that, this information that you're seeing these PowerPoints, this is part of the SIBO Recovery Roadmap course and part of her pro course. So if anyone wants like these, you know, slides and wants like more in-depth information, this is actually a really good sampling of the kind of teaching Dr. Seebecker does. That's all part of the SIBO Recovery Roadmap course. So this set of slides is from that. So we're not sharing that with you all. This is a free webinar for you to learn about your different supplements. And if you want to go deeper, we'd love to have you in the course. Clarissa can put your information there. I think she already has. And then we do have something that is called premium coaching, because I'm getting a lot of questions about very specific situations. And I understand, believe me, that's why we have this platform. You can get into the Dr. Seebecker. She always has 15% off on everything, all the personal care products, all of the supplements.
Thanks. Okay. So the only contraindication for charcoal is if there's a lot of vomiting, just the risk of aspiration, you know, if by chance the capsule broke apart and the powder was there, that's the only contraindication for charcoal. Okay. Now let's come to Iberogast. So Iberogast is a liquid herbal product. And here are some great quotes from studies. It significantly improved quality of life and reduces abdominal pain in IBS patients. It has multiple effects and acts on different structures like muscles, enteric neurons, epithelial cells, immune cells, and efferent nerves. And if the muscle was in a contractile state, which is what we're dealing with here in pain, it decreased the activity. So it's a smooth muscle relaxant, whereas when the muscle was in a relaxed state, it could increase its activity, giving it a prokinetic effect. So this is called eukinetic. Another word we use for this is adaptogenic. It has the ability to bring the body back into the normal state that it should be in, no matter which way it goes. It's interesting because Iberogast can be used for constipation or diarrhea. So all of the symptoms that I'm discussing today, Iberogast has been shown to help. So pain, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, nausea, GERD, dyspepsia, general indigestion. It's been studied. There are over 50 studies on Iberogast, and it's been studied for all kinds of conditions, dyspepsia, IBS, GERD, gastroparesis, visceral hypersensitivity, which is pain, colon cancer, colitis, sepsis, even on and on and on. Now, because of this, I want to explain about our options for getting Iberogast, because there's been a lot of confusion about this, and I've just gotten myself up to date to make sure I know I can tell you about our options. So the original Iberogast is this 9-herb liquid combination I've showing here on the left. It can sometimes be hard to get, and sometimes it becomes expensive, and then, you know, there's like difficulties. Well, now there's a new 6-herb version of this, and both of these are owned by Bayer. The new 6-herb version is missing the angelica, the milk thistle, and the celandine. And I've got the other herbs listed here on the left for you. So the original one is the one that has like the 50 plus studies on it. But the new one also has studies. It has about maybe 10 studies, including a review study. And it is showing very good effects also, like for dyspepsia and IBS. And then there's a bunch of studies on mechanisms like there are in the original Iberogast. It has all these mechanisms of action, like helping leaky gut, being anti-inflammatory, helping the production of short chain fatty acids, and all these things. So I feel really good about the fact that the new 6-herb one is showing up well. One study even concluded, even though it's missing those 3 herbs, it has very similar benefits. So that's good news. Then over on the right-hand side, there's these 2 dupes. So basically, they're both like dupes of the original 9-herb. One is called IBS Shield. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but Iberogast is not available on FullScript. You can only get this on Amazon. And we should have some links on Amazon that Clarissa will put in the chat for you for these products.
Yes.
But IBS Shield is the dupe. And this is in a glycerin base. And then over on the right is Heron Botanical's gut motivator. That's also in a glycerin base, except it has one thing different. It has fennel versus caraway. And that one is practitioner ordering only, but they did give me a code so you can get 10% off, which is SIBO info. Siobhan, did you want to say anything there? No, okay. So those are your options. And one final thing is, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't put a picture of it here, but I think the new six herb version comes in pills too, which is amazing because some people really do not like the taste of Iberogast. So now, of course, liquids will always work faster. So there we are. Here are our Iberogast options. So on to Iberogast for pain. Studies have shown that it has shown significant reduction in abdominal pain. It's fast acting, it's well tolerated, and it's safe. It also reduces pain perception, which is called visceral hypersensitivity. And the dosing is as per label. So you can take it. I think the label says take it with meals or after meals, but you can take it whenever you need it if you're in pain. Okay, so that's Iberogast. Now, simethicone, that's most people know of that as Gas-X. What this does is it breaks gas into smaller bubbles. So it doesn't directly decrease gas. And by the way, the Iberogast, what we're after here is the prokinetic effect, move the gas out. Here, by breaking it into smaller bubbles, it allows, sometimes the muscles then can like relax. They don't have this big bubble there. And it also can allow it to move out a little bit better. So I think simethicone is actually quite helpful, particularly when it's in combination with like charcoal or Iberogast or even peppermint. So I think that's a really good one to take along with something. By itself, it might be a mild effect, but in combination, a much better effect. And I think it's also a little bit better for upper gas, in my experience with patients. Two little lifestyle things are, if the gas is in the upper abdomen, causing the pain, if you lie face down, that changes the position of the stomach where the gas comes to the top and can more easily get out through burping. So that can get the gas out. And also heat. Of course, we know heat helps with muscular pain and it helps with smooth muscle pain. So heating pad, hot water bottle, and a hot bath, especially if the discomfort is with a lot of bloating. Hot baths really can help. It like equalizes the pressure. Probiotics. Probiotics have had excellent studies for pain, but this is not immediate relief. This is more long-term, like 1 to 3 months. So this is if you're struggling with pain in a more chronic situation. So it's various probiotics, various species and strains have shown significant decrease in pain in SIBO and really beneficial effects for pain in IBS. One that has been studied well for both pain and bloating is sold by Jarrow. It's called Ideal Bowel Support. Lactobacillus plantarum, really effective relief for pain and bloating. My friend and colleague, Dr. Ruscio, likes to classify probiotics into three types. And I love this classification, Lactobacillus bifidus, spore, and yeast. And so why I'm bringing this up is if you've not found probiotics to be helpful, well, one thing is, were you taking them for 1, 2, or 3 months? And then the next thing is, if you tried a bunch that were Lactobacillus bifidus, but never tried spore, or the yeast, which is Saccharomyces boulardii, you might want to try the other types. And in terms of spore, I have here one of the most famous spore probiotics is called Megaspore by Microbiome Labs. That is on Fullscript. I wanted to mention that because my patient population has always been a more sensitive population. And I have noticed many people will have like a sensitivity reaction when first starting that. And so you can start it at a lower dose and increase slowly over time. Siobhan?
I want to just chime in here. I wanted to show you, I went into, oh, may I borrow the screen, please, Miss?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to go into Fullscript and show you all. Fullscript is a professional dispensary. And what's so cool about it is that Dr. Seebecker's enabled all of us to have access to that. I remember when I first was on this journey and I wanted something that I'd read a blog post about, I couldn't find it anywhere. And like, I had to go to a practitioner and find out while I was at their office if they even had it in stock. So in Fullscript, Dr. Seebecker has made all of these, everything she's talking about here, bloating relief, which is the way she's broken up the presentation today too. Well, we'll talk about constipation relief, but here is probiotics. So ideal bowel support. This is exactly what she was just talking about. So I just kind of wanted to take you in to make it a little bit easier because sometimes with brain fog and tech, it can be a little bit overwhelming, but it's super easy. Thank you, Dr. Seebecker. And the discount will populate automatically. Thank you. Bye bye. Canada, we are not in Canada yet. So sorry, not in
Oh
yet.
gosh, I'm so sorry. I really wish this would work for all countries. I'm so sorry that that I don't have that. I'm not sure. You might still be able to go in to see the lists, but just not be able to purchase. I'm not sure though. Okay. So let me make sure. There we go. So this is the summary of what can be used for pain that I talked about: peppermint, charcoal, simethicone, iberogast, probiotics, and then those positional and lifestyle things. And remember, you can take many of these together. By the way, if you're people would get concerned about taking charcoal with anything. Certainly, if you're taking it with a liquid, there's no concern. The liquid absorbs instantly. But there are studies where like magnesium was taken with charcoal and it seemed to work. So I think if you take it right at the same time, it's not like I don't, it's not like necessarily not going to work, but you could always take these items 15 minutes before or something like that. Now for bloating. Bloating to me is, I think, one of the hardest symptoms to treat symptomatically. We have a lot of better interventions for things like constipation, diarrhea, and even pain, but there are some things that really do help, thank goodness. Once again, this is most commonly caused by excess gas in the intestines or retained gas in the intestines. And therefore, anything that absorbs the gas or moves it out will help. So let's come back to charcoal. It significantly reduced breath hydrogen levels. So there's the gas and symptoms of bloating and abdominal cramps or pain. It reduced hydrogen peak levels by 14 in the mean area and under the curve by 440 parts per million. That's huge. It was effective in preventing the large increase in the number of flatus events or farting and increased breath hydrogen concentrations that normally occur following a gas-producing meal. So we know it helps for that. And then it's an effective anti-gas medication. So I already discussed charcoal and I already discussed iberogast. Both of these really help with, can really help with bloating, especially taken together. And here I've written the dose for charcoal a little bit more simply, but basically it's 2 to 4 caps, and then you can repeat. There are other prokinetics we can use for bloating, and ginger is probably our main over-the-counter one we have available to us. Ginger is famous for helping nausea, motion sickness, morning sickness. And one of the reasons why it does that is because it is a prokinetic. It has a strong effect on the upper GI as a prokinetic, like the stomach. And so we can use ginger directly. Usually it's 1,000 milligrams would be an effective dose for this purpose. And we also have all these ginger-containing prokinetic formulas that have been made that are commercially available on the market. So the names of these are like Motil Pro, Prokine, SIBO-MMC, Motility Activator, GI Motility Complex, and Motility Pro. These are some of the names. I have all of these on FullScript as well. There's a new prokinetic that's not ginger-based, and it's bitter orange-based. Bitter orange has good studies as a prokinetic as well, and this is called MMC Restore. So these are other options, instead of iberogast to help move the gas out. And once again, you can take these, with the charcoal or just before the charcoal, basically, but do both. The one side effect that's important to know about with the ginger and the ginger-containing prokinetics is what we call ginger burn. It's kind of like acid reflux. It could make acid reflux worse, but often it's just the spiciness of the ginger. People can feel that kind of burning. Not always. This is not like common, but it can happen. There is this one formula called ProDigest. It's a patented formula that many brands carry. So that's what's in Motility Activator, GI Motility Complex, and Motility Pro. That's ProDigest, and that has lower Shaugolls, which is like the burning aspect of ginger. So it's less likely to give the ginger burn. Some people may still get it anyway. Some people just drink water and it goes away and they're not bothered. But just in case, if you've had the burning, you may want to, you could switch over to one of these ones that have ProDigest. You should see ProDigest on the label so you know. Again, we can use simethicone by breaking those the gas into smaller bubbles. It can get out better. And then peppermint. Now, peppermint shows up in studies as helping bloating, but medically, technically, the word bloating means the sensation of bloating, and distension means the physical swelling. So here, the peppermint is for the sensation of the bloating, not the actual physical swelling, which is really what I've been trying to focus on here, is the distension, the swelling. That's what we're trying to get down here. Now, something that is surprising to, I think, a lot of people is that IgG immunoglobulins have studied very well for helping bloating. So they improved or eliminated bloating in the majority of patients with all types of IBS, including when bloating was the primary symptom. So how this comes is as serum bovine immunoglobulin as pills or powder. And just like I was talking about ProDigest, there's a patented formula called Immunolin that then many, many companies sell. So for example, one example is Microbiome Labs has Mega IgG 2000. Orthomolecular has SBI Protect. SBI stands for Serum Bovine Immunoglobulins Protect. So there are a lot of these on Fullscript and Amazon. Many brands carry it. If you're vegetarian, then the option is colostrum. Colostrum is like the pre-milk from cows, and it has a lot of IgG and immunoglobulins. So that's kind of a surprising one. And once again, this is more long-term use for like over time, bloating will decrease, you know, after using this for weeks. It's not like the immediate thing like charcoal would be. Probiotics is another long-term use needed. Again, Ajaro Ideal Bowel Support, that showed for pain and bloating very well in studies. But probiotics generally show good results for most IBS symptoms. And then fiber, partially hydrolyzed guar gum, again, not for immediate relief, but with use over time, it shows significant reduction in the severity of abdominal swelling. So like the absolute distension, right? Pretty amazing. And when anyone is ever going to be using fiber, it's always recommended when starting it to start lower and increase over half a week to a week, because even normal healthy people without GI symptoms can get symptoms as a side effect when starting fiber if they start too high too quickly. So I always recommend low dose and then increase. So for bloating, here we are summarizing charcoal, iberic acid, ginger, or the other ginger-containing prokinetics, or the non-ginger-containing prokinetic, simethicone, immunoglobulins, probiotics, and partially hydrolyzed guar gum. Peppermint oils for the sensation. Okay, on to constipation. Chronic constipation, for people who have chronic constipation, just to note that that is a good idea to treat. Not everyone knows that it's a good idea to treat that. They think, you know, oh, laxatives have a bad rap. You're not supposed to, they could be habit forming. You're not supposed to use them. But there are alternatives that are fine to use ongoing. And it does need to be treated because for normal health of our body, we should be having a bowel movement daily if possible. You don't want to get obsessive about it. But if you have chronic constipation, it's a good idea to use some treatment to try to help yourself go, if you could, once a day or close to it. So my favorite laxative is magnesium oxide or citrate. And this is an osmotic laxative, and it works by drawing water into the intestines. It's a large molecule, and so it has an osmotic effect, bringing fluid into the intestines. And then that allows the stool to be made looser and lubricated, and it comes out. What a lot of people have trouble with is the dosing, and they don't know the kind of dosing that is needed. So what a lot of people will do is, because most magnesium supplements are like 100 milligrams per pill or 150 milligrams per pill, and they'll just take one, maybe two, and then they'll say, magnesium didn't work for me. But what's important to know is for people who suffer, at least from chronic constipation, even occasional constipation, it's typically around 1,000 milligrams that is needed, and sometimes more. So there you can see the problem in the dosing. So I would say the typical range is anywhere from 500 to maybe 2,000 milligrams that's needed. And we typically do this at night before bed. Sometimes another problem I'll see is someone takes 100 milligrams in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one later, and it just doesn't have that osmotic effect. You kind of need a bulk of it to have the osmotic effect. So take it all at once at night before bed. Make sure you're taking enough milligrams. And also another thing is, while the onset typically would be pretty quick in that you take it at night to have a bowel movement the next morning. It doesn't always work like that. And when first starting it, especially, it might take 2 or 3 nights. So you do need to give a little bit of time. Some people will take it one night and say, well, it didn't work for me the next morning. That's it. And I'm giving up. You know, I would say take it for 3 nights before you decide. And another thing is, like, if you take 1,000 milligrams one night, don't then take 2,000 milligrams the next night, because that, if you just took 1,000 milligrams for two or three nights, that might do the job. If you then go to 2,000 milligrams, it could give unpleasant diarrhea. So, you know, you don't want to increase too fast. And the last little thing, so magnesium dosing is finicky. So the last little thing about it is that food lessens the laxative effect of osmotic laxatives. So you want to separate it from food by 2 hours. So if you're taking it at night before bed, that means no dessert or snacks or late dinner 2 hours before it. It's a very noticeable difference. If you can just get that 2 hour separation, it has a much better laxative effect. Okay, so that's it for the laxatives. Now, iboric acid is not a laxative, but it has been shown to help constipation, and short chain fatty acids. So these are substances like butyrate or propionate. And you can buy butyrate from many companies. Propionate isn't as easy to find, but I do, Apex has one. I have that on FullScript. But these are very important substances that help regulate motility. And these are things that are made by beneficial bacteria and probiotics. And that's one of the ways probiotics works, is by making these. So these can be very, very helpful. And then stool softeners. I mean, this is more like a drugstore item, but these can be very helpful for constipation. And then what about fiber? Now, for somebody who has SIBO, fiber can be a little tricky because it could be fermented and cause more gas and more bloating and other symptoms. However, many people with SIBO can tolerate fiber, and without SIBO, many people tolerate fiber. So we have insoluble fiber and soluble fiber. For insoluble, cellulose is probably the easiest option, carried by many brands. And then for soluble, partially hydrolyzed guar gum. As I said before, you always want to start lower than the label says and increase over a half a week to a week's time, and make sure you're drinking enough water. If you don't have enough water when you take the fiber, it could tend to constipate or irritate. The side effects could be bloating or just general irritation or pain. But drinking enough water and starting it slow and increasing usually makes it so that doesn't happen. For partially hydrolyzed guar gum, a study showed that it had significant increase. People had significant increase in the number of evacuations, so frequency, marked improvement in colonic transit time, normalization of stool consistency, and stimulation of peristalsis. So studies really well for helping with constipation. Additionally, it lowers methane gas in 64% of people. Methane gas is a cause of constipation. So this is why many call it SIBO safe. Now, each individual will have a different reaction. For some people, they can't tolerate fiber, but that's why it has this reputation, because it has studied well for like methane and even hydrogen gas. Also, it's been shown to improve all IBS symptoms in all types of IBS, so both constipation and diarrhea types of IBS. It increases bifido and butyrate producing bacteria, so that's really good, the short chain fatty acids. And we've already talked about the dose and the side effects, so that's a very good recommendation. Probiotics, here we go again. Again, this is long-term use, not necessarily overnight relief, but for constipation, BioGaia Protectis probiotic baby drops, that's Lactobacillus reuteri or reuteri, that has studied very well for constipation. Actually, it's also studied well for diarrhea. You'll find many things have these dual effects. Align, a classic sort of drugstore probiotic, has excellent studies for constipation. And combinations that have Bifidus lactis, infantis, and Lactobacillus plantarum generally study really well for all the IBS symptoms. One caution with probiotics that I haven't mentioned yet is some people will get a bad reaction, you know, or a reaction of basically bloating from prebiotics that are in the probiotics if they're listed as a main ingredient with a milligram listing, like there's a good amount of prebiotic in there. So prebiotics are things like FOS, GOS, MOS, chicory, inulin, those sort of things. When that's at a smaller amount in the other ingredients, like it's not right up with the main ingredient listing, that tends to be tolerated by most anybody. But SIBO people are sort of famous for getting aggravated by too many prebiotics too quickly. But also just even if somebody doesn't have SIBO, if they've had a bad reaction to a probiotic, this could be a reason why, you know, like it really bothered your GI symptoms. So just look for that on labels and choose one where it's just in the other ingredients and not a huge amount at first.
And the BioGaia Amazon link is there in the chat.
Thank you. So this is a summary for constipation, magnesium oxide or citrate, iberogast, short chain fatty acids, stool softener, fiber, and probiotics. Now on to diarrhea. So the first thing that I want to mention is the importance of electrolyte or oral rehydration replacement. You know, when you have diarrhea, there's fluid loss, and then there's also electrolyte loss, which are minerals. And that can really contribute to the wet dish rag feeling that people get when they have diarrhea, the fatigue and the just, the malaise. And this is really the most important thing for that. So this is not going to stop the diarrhea. It's not like going to, you know, stop it from happening, but this replaces what's lost. And I have here for you the WHO's homemade recipe. You can make this at home. So it's a cup of water, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 tablespoon of sugar or honey. Now, the sugar or honey is very important. And this is the difference between oral rehydration and electrolytes. Oral rehydration has the sugar in there or the glucose, because what it does is it helps the water and the electrolytes get into the cells in the body. And that makes a really big difference. You can just have electrolytes without the sugar, but it's better when you add a little bit of glucose, basically. So this comes in prepared liquid drinks like Pedialyte, right? That's the classic example. You can also get it in capsules and powders that you mix with water. And I have some brands on FullScript, and you see these in, you know, grocery stores and on Amazon. If the formula that you have doesn't have glucose or sugar, and instead it has like stevia as a sweetener or something like that, or, you know, like a non-calorie sweetener, you can just take it along with a little bit of honey or sugar and kind of make your own oral rehydration solution. So this is really important. And by the way, this helps with other types of fatigue as well, like adrenal fatigue. And just if you didn't get enough sleep, like oral rehydration and electrolytes they're very helpful, not just for diarrhea, but for really any kind of fatigue. Okay, now coming back to something I keep talking about is charcoal. This adsorbs fluid. So I have seen some miracle results with charcoal for diarrhea. You know, I a friend of mine's husband had uncontrolled IBD, and while he was waiting to get into his IBD specialist for the first time, you know, he had explosive diarrhea, and just two capsules of charcoal completely controlled it. Not everyone's going to have that response. Of course, that was a miracle response, but just incredible. I've seen incredible results for diarrhea. And we've already gone over charcoal. Next would be bismuth subsalicylate. That's Pepto-Bismol. It's also sold as K-O-Pectate and various generic forms. The bismuth actually stimulates the absorption of fluids back into the body. And many people are familiar with this. This is a classic medicine cabinet sort of item, very, very helpful for diarrhea. Some side effects to know about is it could cause constipation. Basically, anything that we're using to treat diarrhea could cause constipation, but also black stool and black tongue could occur, and tinnitus is a possible side effect of bismuth subsalicylate. Another sort of drugstore medicine cabinet item is loperamide. Most people are familiar with this as Imodium. This actually slows transit and contractions. So, you know, that has quite an immediate effect. All of these are immediate effect. Side effects of loperamide could include pain, constipation, sleepiness, vomiting, and a dry mouth. Probiotics, here we go again, good for constipation, diarrhea, pain, and bloating. These are more of the long-term effects, not immediate effects for diarrhea. So some ones that have been well-studied for diarrhea include the probiotic yeast Saccharomyces boulardii, very, very good studies, famous for helping diarrhea. Also, Culturelle Health and Wellness. Both of those are on PullScript. Cultrell is another one, like a line you see in the drugstores a lot. Luckily, PullScript carries that one too. That's Lactobacillus rhamnosus. Good studies on for diarrhea, but also actually also for constipation. And then BioK, that one you see in some health food stores, really good studies. That usually comes as a little liquid, really good studies for diarrhea. And then a spore-containing one is Bacillus subtilis. That is sold as Q58 by itself. And also that's in Megaspore. Probably one of the reasons Megaspore is so popular. By the way, each month I get a report to see what people are buying in PullScript. And absolutely every single month, the Megaspore probiotic is the number one bestseller. So that lets you know a lot of people get help from it. And this could be one of the reasons why. And then those same combinations I mentioned for constipation, they help with all symptoms of IBS. And we've already talked about the prebiotics. So probiotics. Fiber also can help with diarrhea, whether it's the soluble of partially hydrolyzed guar gum or the cellulose insoluble fiber. They absorb fluid, and the PHGG increases water absorption by the colonocytes via short-chain fatty acids. So very helpful there. And then short-chain fatty acids themselves help. They stimulate fluid absorption. So fiber feeds the bacteria, and then they make the short-chain fatty acids. That's a really good way to go. And you can also just take short-chain fatty acids. And also, back to immunoglobulins, IgG. The mechanism isn't known here, but I don't even know. I've looked at many studies, but it's very well studied for diarrhea. There's a prescription form of immunolin, which is called Enteragam. And it's very famous for helping with diarrhea, and it's these, you know, IgG immunoglobulins. So it reduced the number of BMs in IBS diarrhea type. It improved chronic loose stools and frequent stools, abdominal discomfort, bloating, and urgency in IBS diarrhea type. This comes in pills or powders. So diarrhea, electrolytes, don't forget oral rehydration, charcoal, bismuth, Imodium, probiotics, fiber, short-chain fatty acids, and immunoglobulins. Now for nausea. The number one thing is going to be prokinetics. They coordinate downward movement within the GI tract. They're not laxatives. They more so make sure that things are moving from the stomach to the small intestine, from the small intestine to the large intestine. So the most famous would be ginger, of course, so famous for nausea. We can get this in various forms, like you can do ginger tea. Ginger tea is really good for nausea. There's capsules and tinctures, but there's also those ginger candy chews. You know, if you're okay with having some of the sugar that they contain, those are very helpful when traveling. You know, they can just be, you know, there's also like little suckers that are strong ginger. These are very, very helpful for nausea. This is immediate relief. This is like very quick onset. You can also use the ginger-containing prokinetic formulas. And we went over the side effect of the ginger burn, but one thing I didn't mention before when I was talking about them is I have observed a side effect in some with the one that's called Modal Pro. I did have some patients get diarrhea with that one, not of them, but I just wanted to mention that, whereas I haven't seen that with the other ones. Ibirogast. Now, Ibirogast, I think this is what Ibirogast is absolutely best at. Out of everything that it can help and that it is studied for, is nausea. I have seen the best results with Ibirogast for nausea, just really, really clinically very effective at that. The only problem I've seen with it is like if someone's using it for like motion sickness, like for the example I can remember is if someone's on a boat and they're seasick, and they're on a certain hour-long trip or, you know, like 6-hour trip or something, and then they just keep dosing it for the nausea, then they're taking like 10 times the dose they normally would have, or 15 times the dose they normally would have. I have then seen diarrhea. But that is only with this extreme dosing situation. But otherwise, I've seen it really, really help with that. And also the bismuth, like Pepto-Bismol, Kaopectate, really good for nausea. And, you know, there's all sorts of generics. I don't know if everyone remembers it for that, but it's very, very good for that as well. So these are all quick onset. And then sort of a subcategory of nausea would be dyspepsia, or, you know, many of us would think of that as indigestion. Dyspepsia is a group of, you know, any one or more of these upper abdominal symptoms that are sort of above the navel, like nausea, which we just went over, but like belching and bloating and fullness with the meal too soon and feeling too full after and just discomfort and, you know, that icky feeling and something's wrong and heartburn, loss of appetite, even food regurgitation. For that, there's a combination that's been studied really well, peppermint oil plus caraway oil, and also fennel has been studied for this. So they actually have some pills that have this combination, FD Guard. That's like that IB Guard I mentioned in the beginning. Well, this is FD Guard. It's the peppermint plus caraway. And also Regiment is another one, and now has a great formula of peppermint, ginger, and fennel. The fennel is similar to the caraway. Really, really, that's an excellent one, because then you're kind of getting the extra benefit of the ginger. And that one's on full script as well. And you can also find teas, like traditional medicinals, herbal tea, belly comfort, and gas relief, which you can find in some stores, or various grocery stores may have their own generic brand of these. This has these ingredients, and this is very, very good for that. So keep that in mind. I think the FD Guard might even come on like a blister pack, which is nice to have in your traveling bag, or your purse. But another thing that a lot of people may not think about is alkalinizing. So Alka-Seltzer Gold, Alka-Seltzer Gold is just Alka-Seltzer without aspirin. It's just basically the baking soda and the citric, or baking soda. And I'm going to talk about those next, but that is an amazingly fast, incredible treatment for dyspepsia or indigestion when it's just icky after a meal and you don't really know why. Don't forget about Alka-Seltzer and baking soda. So for nausea and dyspepsia, ginger, iberogast, or other prokinetics, ginger-containing prokinetics, peppermint and caraway oil or fennel, and baking soda or Alka-Seltzer. Siobhan.
Just because we're right here, how about iberogast for pregnancy nausea?
Yes. So the label now says consult with your doctor if you're pregnant or lactating, but it didn't used to. And what I had read in all the studies is it had been studied for pregnancy and children with completely safe results. So I had recommended it for morning sickness and nausea during pregnancy for like 15 years before that warning came on the label.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And then we're coming down to the final couple of symptoms, acid reflux. So for immediate relief, neutralizing the acid is good. So that's the baking soda or the Alka-Seltzer or Alka-Seltzer Gold. So to do this at home, you would use a half a teaspoon of baking soda in half a cup of water, so 4 ounces of water. And you could do that up to every 2 hours with a max of 7 doses in a day. And that immediately neutralizes it. Jumping down to the bottom of the slide, calcium carbonate chewables, these are like Tums, those sort of things, is the same idea. The calcium or the baking soda neutralizes, alkalinizes, and neutralizes the acid. In the middle, we have iberogast again. It's been studied for GERD and acid reflux with great results. And then charcoal, again, charcoal. This absorbs fluids, including acid, and it also neutralizes the acid, just like the other ones. So some of these things are appearing over and over again. Now, another way to approach acid reflux is that many actually wind up having low acid, and yet they get reflux. And the reason why is we need acid to give strength and tone to the sphincter there between the esophagus and the stomach. And if there's too little acid, it can become lax and it's open. And then whatever acid is in the stomach, even if it's a small amount, can come up and then burn. So the way to do it here, if we're going at this strategy, is to try to stimulate acid. So you can take hydrochloric acid pills directly, apple cider vinegar, or liquid herbal bitters, also called Swedish bitters. The side effect obviously could be burning. If that happens, stop, and you can treat that with, you know, the baking soda or one of those remedies from before. The other thing you can do is start very low and slow, increasing carefully over time, just to make sure you don't get that. Because, you know, the idea here is you're just trying to slowly get some tonification of the sphincter. And to really, really know whether your acid reflux is due to low stomach acid or high stomach acid, you'd need to probably have a Heidelberg test or some kind of testing to let you know. And unfortunately, the symptom of acid reflux could be either. We can't tell by the symptom whether it's too much acid or too little, and it could be either. More people tend to have low acid. So for acid reflux, baking soda or Alka-Seltzer, Iberogast, charcoal, calcium carbonate tubules, or the acid stimulating options. Okay, so the last category I want to go over is just general. General digestive complaints, you know, not really one symptom or another, just like sort of what do we think to use for general digestive upsets? Iberogast, right? It helps pretty much every symptom. Digestive enzymes, they're like staple of, you know, most many alternative-minded doctors. The hydrochloric acid stimulating things, staple idea here to just try to help with everything. You know, herbal bitters and apple cider vinegar, they're called like digestive tonics. They're taken before meals traditionally to help stimulate acid so you can digest your food better, right? So that's a thing people do, right? And then they have all these wonderful vinegars that are flavored now and all these special things. Immunoglobulins or, you know, or colostrum to give you the IgG, these just have so much tonifying effects for the digestive system in general. They have epithelial growth factors in them, which, you know, help the cells to heal in the whole intestinal tract, PRPs and many things. And then probiotics are sort of obvious, so important for our health to have the microbiome in good shape. And then I just couldn't not mention diet. Here I'm mentioning SIBO diet in particular because you don't even necessarily have to have SIBO, but these diets just help with all of the symptoms pretty much we've been talking about, you know, pain, bloating, diarrhea, acid reflux, nausea, global symptoms, and sometimes also constipation as well, fatigue. So it's a great tool to use at home. So I've listed here for you the SIBO diets, including at, you know, sort of the main ones I think of, including sort of a simplified version that I have made a handout for called my Quick Start Diet. And Clarissa can put a link for that in the chat if you want to get a hold of that. That if you don't want to go in full bore to a big diet, that's a good way to get going just to get some symptom relief. Okay, so just in conclusion, if we're thinking of simplifying the medicine cabinet, like what can I get that has multi-uses? Iberogast, obviously, right? And we went over the options there. It helps with every symptom, I think, that I talked about today. Charcoal helps with pain, bloating, diarrhea, acid reflux, and probiotics, pain, bloating, constipation, diarrhea. So I'd say these three would be, you know, the best bang for your buck if you just want to, like, what should I have in the medicine cabinet? And the last thing is, as Siobhan mentioned, I'd love to, if anyone wants to join me, I'd love to see you in one of my trainings on SIBO. I have trainings for practitioners and for patients, and I would love it if you came. It'd be wonderful. That's it.
Thank you, Dr. Seebecker. That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Let's put some love into the chat for Dr. Seebecker, because that was awesome. That was really fantastic. You just poured your heart, soul, and love into that, I can tell. As you do with everything. So
the most important message is there is help for these symptoms.
Thank you. That is exactly right. There is,
right? I mean, you do not need to just like suffer without reliable help.
Exactly. And I know it can get very confusing and it can get overwhelming. There you are at CVS, there you are on the, you know, aisle of the health food store. And the thing is that if you want the slides, those are part of the SIBO Recovery Roadmap course, and Clarissa has been putting that in the chat. Dr. Seebecker also has premium coaching, which is limited to 10 people per group. We just started it this year. Is that right, Allison? Was it just this year? We're only in April?
I think we did like something, maybe, another.
Oh, yeah, we did some last year. Yeah. But those are kind of like the beta and the experiment. And it's gone really, really well. It is a smaller group. It is a, you know, premium price. It's direct attention and communication with Dr. Seebecker, because she isn't practicing right now. She's working on her book and some other projects. But I did want to mention that, and Clarissa can put it into the chat. The course SIBO Recovery Roadmap takes you through step by step the nine steps in the protocol. The algorithm, we call it, for treating SIBO. Dr. Seebecker has had thousands of people receive negative SIBO breath tests by going through this proven algorithm. So lots of hope there too. But I wanted to get to
Oh,
some
and I just
questions.
saw somebody ask, do I have courses for practitioners? Yes, I have three. I have a full length, fully comprehensive on SIBO, and then I have a mini, and then I have a diagnosis and testing. And Clarissa can put those in the link for you.
Thank you. I was about I thought in my head, don't forget to talk about Pro, and so thank you for that. Okay, here comes some questions. Oh, by the way, the replay will be sent out tonight, and it's very straightforward. I wanted to let you know that every day you can get 15% off at Fullscript through Dr. C. Becker's link, and if it goes on auto ship, it's 20% off, which is phenomenal. Additionally, they don't have just, supplements at Fullscript. They have personal care products. They have your shampoos, your good deodorants, lots of skincare. So it's really a very nice resource. And those are also at those
I
specialty
just love it
vendors.
that Fullscript exists and that I get to offer a discount to people. It's like it's the greatest.
It is great. It is great. We really appreciate that. Okay, let's see. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to kind of stay a little bit away from medical questions right now. I answered some little ones that I knew, but what about Pepto-Bismol, Dr. C. Becker, as a supplement?
Well, I did talk about that a whole bunch. Was there a
Yeah.
particular
Okay.
question, or
No, I think that
maybe
that was
potentially that
three.
question came in maybe before I started
Yeah, it
mentioning?
is true. Yeah. And yes, the SIBO Recovery Roadmap does cover IMO,
Oh,
intestinal
sorry,
failure.
everyone. When I say SIBO, I mean EMO as well. For me, there were three types of SIBO. That's how it all started, methane being one of them. And then it got a new name, EMO. And I just don't ever barely remember to say EMO. I just say SIBO. To
Okay.
me, they're all the same thing.
Even though they're different and she knows how to treat both of them, it's a distinction that is, I would say, quite technical because the treatments
It's
haven't
a
changed.
nomenclature
Yeah,
distinction. It's a
exactly. Thank you.
terminology.
If you have reflux and GERD, peppermint may aggravate that.
That's right. Yeah, we went over that
Yep.
because it relaxes the smooth muscle. I showed you those
Right.
pictures
Yep.
of the stomach where that if it relaxes the lower esophageal sphincter, the acid will come up. Potentially, that question came in before they saw that.
That is exactly correct. Okay, and yes, the pill form, Dr. C. Becker, you did talk about that. Where can you get the, and Ira, my mic is the same as it always is, so I'm sorry if you can't hear it. Where can we get the pill form of the Iberogast?
That's that new six. Did I mistake that? I think that's right on Amazon.
Okay.
That new Iberogast six herb. I think the way you tell the difference is the new one says like IBS plus digestive support. The other one says nine herb on it, the original. But
Okay.
I think I saw that on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
Any when you travel and you're using your Iberogast, do you refrigerate it?
No, I don't refrigerate it normally. I don't
That's
think it has a
fantastic.
refrigeration on the label. I mean, it's an alcohol base, which is a, it keeps it from
There you
going bad.
go. So if you're traveling, don't worry about that. Do essential oils harm the good gut bacteria?
I think they could, but I don't know that from a study, so don't quote me on that.
If you
And
have,
taking essential oils internally is, you'd need that to be in a special base oil. Like we take herbal extracts typically, like thyme and things like that, and they're antibacterial, but essential oils, they're thought to be mostly antimicrobial as well, but they're very strong.
so Adam's saying, is it okay to ingest peppermint essential oil with a carrier oil like olive oil?
I don't know about that. I've never advised that. I don't know.
It's quite polarizing. I have a couple of experts in the world of essential oils that I work with. They're not big fans. They're not big fans. They like the capsules. They do not suggest taking things like that internally. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. Tried Elemental Diet for SIBO by Integrative Therapeutics, but every time I drink it, it causes brain fog for me. Any suggestions? Should I complete the course of 2 weeks, or is it a sign that it's not a good fit? She's
What
not your
that sound
doctor, but some thoughts.
okay, what that sounds like is one of two things. Either that's die-off, which is very expected and common. Brain fog is a classic die-off symptom, or it could be low blood sugar or just blood sugar issues. There's a lot of sugar and sweetener in there needs to be in or at least there typically is in these elemental diets, but that can sort of make us go low and high, have reactive hypoglycemia. So it's either one of those two things. I would not consider that a reason to not move forward with the elemental diet unless you find it unbearable, or you know, it's conflicting with your life in such a way you need to make arrangements. But you know, if it is blood sugar, then the solution is you could home make a formula. You could get my homemade elemental recipe. It's on my website for free. With lower carbs, you can also make sure you're buying a formula with maltodextrin. That helps a little bit. And then the big tip is to sip it throughout the day instead of just drinking it all as one meal, like three meals. And if it's die off, you know, that's die off can be rough, but you know, you decide if you can bear through it or not. You know, there's things you could do like charcoal, you can do anti-inflammatories. You know, we have all sorts of things we do for die off, managing die off.
Okay. Would activated charcoal adversely affect a GI MAP test?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they often don't want you to be doing laxatives, like even magnesium right before that. And then on the other hand, sometimes you have to. And then there are some docs that specifically want you to. Oh, I would call the lab and ask their opinion about that.
Good idea. I would think that activated charcoal, even if separated from food, would adsorb or negatively impact the quantity of good microbes, and maybe the microbiome diversity would suffer as a result. Is that possible or probable? How to work around it? Taking away the good and process of mopping out the bad. And Allison, is Dr. Seebecker, is that like a long-term strategy? Do you know people that are on charcoal like for long, long term?
Well, yes, because people use charcoal's a binder. And so people use it in mold when they're treating mold along with other binders for a year or more, 2 years. You know, I was recently just hearing some of my colleagues talk about recommendations to be on binder when you've had mold, even if you're over mold, to be on binder still. So I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that binders are messing with the microbiome. I think that's an interesting thought, but I don't know that that is true.
Okay. How strong is the licorice and Iberogast gas? Will it cause high blood pressure?
There are no reports of that. And it, you know, it's one of nine herbs and you're taking 20 drops. So, but that's a good thought. The six herb one still has it. So I think they all have it. Yeah. But I have not seen that in a patient, and all the patients who've taken it, it's not been a concern.
Have you, did you talk about what to do for reflux, Dr. Seebecker?
I did. Yeah. That was one of our acid reflux. Yeah.
I thought so, but I'm being super, super careful. Any prokinetic that is best for those of us with histamine intolerance?
any prokinetic or any probiotic?
Prokinetic.
Prokinetic. So I'm thinking then they're having trouble with ginger. I'm not sure. You know, probably your best bet is to use a pharmaceutical.
Okay.
Because herbs can have histamine reactions, unfortunately, right? So our pharmaceuticals are prucalopride, which is Motegrity in the US, LDN. LDN, of course, is used to help histamine intolerance, and low-dose erythromycin. But otherwise, you just have to try. You know, you just have to try those ones that we discussed and see what your reaction is or isn't. And, you know, you can hardly predict with histamine intolerance.
IgG that is vegetarian.
That's colostrum.
Yep.
And so I have many of those brands listed in FullScript.
Vegan, excuse-moi. Not vegetarian.
Oh, there is no vegan.
Yep.
No, IgG is a biological substance. It needs to come from, of course, plants are biological. How do you say it? Mammalian? I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
If there is casein dairy sensitivity, can the immunoglobulin you mentioned still be used?
Casein and just general dairy.
Dairy.
That I'm not so sure. It doesn't, I don't believe it has. I know it doesn't, many of them don't have lactose. I think it would be an issue. I can't say for sure, but I would be concerned.
Okay. Let's see.
I mean, the colostrum is more of the concern. I'm sorry, I was thinking of the colostrum. The serum bovine immunoglobulin, still, I can't say that I know that it would be okay or not. You could contact a company. They may be able to, one of the companies may be able to qualify that.
Should these supplements be taken always or only during a flare? Hi, Laura.
Well, I think what I was mostly suggesting here is for use as needed, and if you're and you know like a flare and things like that. But there are situations where, as I mentioned in the beginning, people, you know, they already know what they have wrong with them. They've worked on treating it, and they still have some symptoms residually there that need management. In that case, it would be ongoing. And then, you know, you look at the things like probiotics and fiber, where they get their best effects over 1 to 3 months. So that's going to be continuous. And I mean, those things, fiber and probiotics, that's good for health anyway. So it's not like, oh, you're just, it's not like just for symptom relief.
Do you ever use artichoke extract as a prokinetic? And does that extract have inulin? I know you touched on this.
So that is what ProDigest is. So that the ginger-containing prokinetics, that patented formula ProDigest is artichoke and ginger. I didn't mention the artichoke part of it. That's what, it's just two ingredients, it's patented, and then it's carried by multiple brands. Motility Activator is kind of the most famous one people would know. So yes, we use that all the time. Does it have inulin? You know, I don't know for sure. I mean, I haven't heard them discuss it one way or the other. Artichoke is a high FODMAP, so I can see your concern. And you know, I was concerned when I first saw that come out, but I've seen so many patients like with SIBO use it with very, very good results. I'm not really concerned about it.
Okay.
I mean, if you had some sort of big reaction to it, you just wouldn't take that one.
Right. Okay, let's see. Are short chain fatty acids an effective substitute for a prokinetic?
I don't think so, because while they help regulate motility, I think of that more in the large intestine. Prokinetics, and that's like a bit of a different kind of motility. Prokinetics in general, their aim is usually more the upper GI, esophagus, stomach, and small intestine. They can have effects on the large intestine too, like potentially with moving some gas through, but no, I wouldn't think so. However, it depends on what you're trying to do. Like if you're thinking, hey, can I use that instead of a prokinetic for SIBO relapse prevention? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't suggest that. But if you're just thinking, hey, could that work for this symptom or that symptom? Try it and see.
Okay. Okay. If someone's trying to eliminate H. pylori, would taking charcoal help with the Herxheimer reaction?
Yeah, charcoal is really, really good for, I call that die-off. It's very good for that. It's one of the main things we use for die-off or Herxing.
What are your thoughts on using charcoal in delayed gastric emptying?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how and when you're using it. You know, you have to be quite thoughtful about your, about when you're taking it with meals and medicines. You're going to need to give a longer time. If you've had tests for your delayed gastric emptying and you know how long it takes your stomach to empty, then you'll know how to time it against your meals and your medicines.
Okay. Shari is saying she does not have abdominal pain, but does have constant unremitting burping.
That that's awful.
Yeah. I have to take Rifaximin every year, and I have had this for 15 years. I'm so sorry.
Is there any particular question?
I think it was just a comment. Since a TAH, what's that?
TAH? I wonder if that's a TAH? I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Will fulvic help in the same way as charcoal?
I have never tried it. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, and of course, what I was looking at was all this. There's so many studies for charcoal. I have not looked for fulvic studies.
You guys, my electrician just pulled in. He's 18 minutes early, 12 minutes early. How dare he? I mean, I'm so glad he's here. What about terrible throat burning? It goes into the ears. Oh.
Say it again.
Hold
what is
on.
It?
Jackie's. I'm back to TAH, total abdominal hysterectomy. I'm
oh,
so
thank
sorry.
You, everyone. Thank you.
Okay. So that burping is after the TAH, Allison.
Oh, the burping is after that. Oh, how interesting. Well, you know, one of the first things I think about is to get looked at for structural issues. Siobhan's going to go let her electrician in. You know, issues with the diaphragm, and can the diaphragm descend properly? Because this can this this can create a situation called dysinertia, where there's a pressure differential from the upper and lower chamber in the abdomen. And so, for instance, just going to see somebody who does visceral manipulation could be very, very good for a situation like that. If the issue came after surgery, it makes me think about adhesions. Adhesions or scar bands, and that could be basically that could have caused SIBO, and or just other kind of structural issues. And then another thing to think about is, I know you said you have to take rifaximin. I think you were the one who said you have to take rifaximin every year. So this makes me think that you have SIBO. Unremitting burping is a symptom of SIBO that gets better with treatment. So maybe, you know, where are you at with your SIBO? Do you have SIBO? Do you know where you're at? Are you doing the proper treatments? You know, if you're treating it once a year with rifaximin and then you have unremitting burping, that it sounds like something's wrong there. Like, have you had a retest after your rifaximin to make sure the SIBO's gone? You know, that sort of thing. So now let's see. Let me go into the Q&A box and pick some questions until Siobhan gets back. Let's see. Can SIBO be negative if you have gastroparesis because the lactulose takes time to get to the small intestine? Yes, absolutely. That's a very astute question. And that's one of the ways we can get a false negative in SIBO. It's hard to know how to properly test for SIBO when there's gastroparesis. Once again, if you know the time in which your stomach emptying is delayed, well, then you could, you'd have to continue your test past that time, like 3 hours past that time. Let's see what else I can pull up here. What are some of the best ways to determine when in your gut healing journey to add in supplements, including probiotics? I think that's very individual. When you would do that, kind of depending upon what you have going on. There's sort of a general thing many practitioners will do is if somebody comes in, and many people do this at home, if you're starting to have symptoms, kind of the first thing we do is try some basic supplements, including probiotics. The ones I had on the general slide at the very end, the acid stimulating ones, you know, digestive enzymes, these are sort of our classic, you have some symptoms and let's just try this and see what it does. So I would say the very beginning is a good time to do it. But if you've already been trying things, really, you can try them at any time. Probiotics can be tried at any time. Just know that it may take a couple months to get the effects that you want. Oh, here comes Siobhan.
Sorry about that. I told him, don't come early. Okay, moving on.
I went to the Q&A box and answered a few questions.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Did you talk about psyllium seed and husk to use? Is it okay for diarrhea?
Yeah. Any kinds of fiber can be used. I just was highlighting some that had some nice studies, but you can try any kind of fiber. Just remember, with any kind of fiber, like for diarrhea, all fiber is going to help absorb the fluid. But always just be a little careful because it can cause irritation, like meaning don't take a huge amount the first day.
Can lactulose regularly be used for constipation?
Yeah, it can. It is classified as a laxative. Folks with SIBO might have an issue with it in terms of they might get aggravated, but others do just fine on it. And it's a prebiotic, so it's not a bad thing.
Is there something for incomplete evacuation as opposed to for chronic constipation that would be super helpful?
Pretty much all of the things I mentioned could help. So prokinetics, fiber, probiotics, all could help with that. And also osmotic laxatives, I don't know if this person has tried them, can help with that by putting more water in the stool. And that can help with more, with better evacuation. One other thing to think about there is sometimes incomplete evacuation is due to cramping, muscular contraction, in which case some smooth muscle relaxants might help.
Okay.
Like peppermint.
Do you have enzymes in full script, Dr. Seebecker, in a list?
Oh, yes. I have a whole list. By the way, for anyone who wants to know where the lists are, you go under community plans. I also have lists of favorites as well. And I have one just for digestive enzymes. And I have my favorites there.
Okay. Let me It's very straightforward. It's right here. Like you just literally, I'm going to go up to the top, see their community plans. I'll do my little annotation because I love that feature. And there you go. Now I get rid of it, but I have fun with that. So diarrhea, it's all right there.
And yeah, I have one for digestive enzymes.
Yeah.
One thing that's annoying is like they have the full lists out. It's kind of annoying. It's better if you just see the headings of them. You have to like scroll and scroll, but that's just, you know.
This is, there you go. And so it's weird because they make this shopping cart. And so if you bought every single product in there, it would be like,
a kajillion dollars.
Yeah, a
But these are
gajillion dollars.
just lists of favorites.
Yeah, this was her very smart workaround. I liked it. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, and then we got into the thank yous. Optimum timing for betaine HCL and also digestive enzymes.
The betaine HCL, it's best to take it at the start of a meal. You don't want to take it too far ahead because, you know, it could cause a little bit of burning. You could take it a little bit ahead. Digestive enzymes also a little bit ahead is good. But the thing is, this is very hard to remember. So, like 15 minutes ahead is really good. But, you know, even for like lactose malabsorption, many of the manufacturer's labels say to take it right at the time you're ingesting it. So if you forget, it's no big deal.
Is it okay to take vitamins during the house cleaning wave? So that's the migrating motor complex wave. Those of you.
You mean like, oh, probably like when you're trying to fast in between.
Yeah.
Probably best not to, but there are things you have to take on an empty stomach. So I would not worry about it too much. The key thing that turns off the migrating motor complex is calories. And if you're taking like, you know, many minerals don't really have any calories, but like if you're taking two capsules of an herb or something like ginger, it does not have a lot of calories, you know. I'm not that concerned about it.
Right. Okay. I'm not, some of these are like, I'm trying to answer as many broad questions as possible. Is there a specific probiotic strain that you recommend for methane producing SIBO, constipated type SIBO?
Yes, that's the Lactobacillus reuteri or reuteri. Yeah. That's the BioGaia Baby Protectus probiotic drops. It's a big long name. And Clarissa does have the link for you on that. She can post in the chat.
What do you think about psyllium husk for constipation? I heard it reduces transit time and does not exacerbate symptoms.
Yeah, that's just like we said for diarrhea, that's an absolutely fine fiber to try. Absolutely. Many people will tolerate cellulose and partially hydrolyzed guar gum better, which is why I highlighted those. Psyllium husk can, there are many people who get aggravated with symptoms by that, but then there are many who don't.
Okay. Judy, magnesium glycinate is not good. I must have it wrong. Thought oxide was not good. I take magnesium nightly, 800 milligrams for me is perfect. Is it bad to take calcium too?
Okay, wait, so the question is magnesium glycinate bad? Gosh, no, magnesium glycinate's fantastic. I love it. You can also use magnesium glycinate as your magnesium as a laxative. It's just not as, it doesn't have as strong of a laxative effect as oxide. The issue here, maybe, and because also she's like, I think she said, I thought magnesium oxide was bad. If you'd heard that, that could be. The reason why is because it doesn't absorb well into the body, which is why it's an effective laxative. So it's like if you're trying to get magnesium into your body's cells, oxide is the least best way to do that. But it's the best, therefore the best laxative because it stays in the intestines.
Okay, right. All right. Okay, you guys, definitely share it with your friends. Share this replay. Share the link for the 25% off the course if you want to do the SIBO Recovery Roadmap course or the SIBO Pro course if you're a professional. Yes, it is ongoing access. Our lawyer said don't say the word forever or lifetime, but yeah, it's not. Some people have like a time limit on the courses. That's not the case here. If you have to take NSAIDs on a regular basis, any recommendations to help stomach?
Yes, zinc carnosine, the immunoglobulins. I don't know if I mentioned this, but the IgG immunoglobulins, they're not cheap, unfortunately, right? So definitely if you're going to get them on the sale. But, you know, it may not be, an option for everybody, but they are fantastic. Things like slippery elm or mucilaginous herbs are very good to protect the stomach. Aloe, comfrey, marshmallow, all of those things, all of these can help. And basically anything that can help repair, L-glutamine would be another one. L-glutamine is really excellent for the small intestine repair and the stomach.
Okay. If I lie down during the SIBO lactulose test, would this affect the results? I was told not to, but one lab said it was okay.
What they don't really want you doing is like sleeping, because that's more about what happens with our lungs and air exchange. I don't think it's a major concern. And you know, it's like if you've already done this and you're thinking, was my test accurate? Like if you got a positive test, then I wouldn't worry about it. If you got a negative and you're like, could that have been a false negative? I don't know. I wouldn't think that would be a major player.
What is die-off?
Die-off, it's also called the Herxheimer reaction or Herxing. And it's basically when things are like bacterial overgrowth, yeast overgrowth, some kind of infection is being killed in the intestines or the body, then the immune system can react to the metabolites and even the pieces of cell wall as these bacteria are dying, thinking there's an infection, thinking there's a problem, like I've identified a foreign invader, and then the immune system gets very upset and it's very inflammatory. And then you can basically get symptoms as if you were getting sick, like with a cold or a flu, fatigue. You can get classic symptoms. You can get brain fog and all these other things. When we're killing a gastrointestinal overgrowth or infection, the same digestive or GI symptoms that you already have can get worse and new ones can come. It's just an awful thing. Bloating is a very common die-off reaction when we're killing intestinal overgrowths, and brain fog's common, and fatigue. It's very unpleasant.
What about Otrantil?
Otrantil is something that we use for methane SIBO or EMO. It can decrease methane gas. And so it's an herbal antibiotic, or it's not, it has an antibiotic effect, but we use it like that. It really stops the production of methane gas. This is not something that I think of like just for symptom relief. It can help with constipation. I'm thinking that's what this person's thinking about, because that's, you know, what it's ultimately meant to do. So if a person has a lot of excess methane gas, which would mean they have SIBO slash EMO, then Otrantil could help, because it's stopping the production of methane gas. But my thought process is a little different here. You know, I'm thinking of, I'm not, that's like to me treating more like the root cause. Like now you're trying to treat the SIBO. Whereas what I was mostly talking about is like, how do you just get the bowels moving, you know, not knowing what's wrong.
Okay.
But yes. Yeah, that could help.
We love you. We thank you so much. That was an hour and a half of pure power. Thank you, Dr. Seebecker, so much. Please join us in these other courses if you get a chance. Join us in the SIBO SOS Facebook group. Dr. Seebecker has a YouTube channel. SIBO SOS has a YouTube channel. Small and growing. So lots to be looking forward to.
And everyone, just please know there's absolutely hope for managing these symptoms, absolutely. Right? If you haven't tried some of these things, please do. They're very effective.
Absolutely. So thank you very, very much. And we will keep you posted. Be sure to read your emails. I know it's a lot, but you definitely will be privy to some very special trainings coming up, just like this one. Okay. Mwah. Thanks.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. 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 Boom. Okay. Thanks, everybody.